Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Good morning.
Hello, hello.
Afternoon or evening. Bit of a throwback there. Jack McCoy. From wherever you're listening across the world, welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things. With me today, as always, next to me, sitting on my bedouin, it's the J-Man, Jack Manuel. How are you?
I'm good, Nick. We just reflected. We did some throwbacks together. We went on Blog Talk, took a listen to the early beginnings of JBT, and boy, oh boy.
How bad we were.
We were terrible.
The sound quality was just horrific.
It was horrendous.
You were in another country more often than not, so...
That's how it started.
It helps. Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, when we get to that 100 episode mark, which we are only five episodes away.
We're close. It's crazy.
After this one, it's four more to go. So in the off-season, guys, we'll be doing a big extravaganza. If you want to do anything, any reflections, we might include some sound bites of our favourite moments. Bayzy. All the like titles of the episodes have just been sensational. Charlie farting on my flat floor while I was recording.
That was good.
Incredibly professional podcasting right here for JVT. And that's the random fact that my brother has flatulence in London.
My name is Nick Busing. And did you know...
Yeah.
I worked... this seems to have come... Sort of...
Full diamond.
it's sort of been, you know, unprecedented. We've been doing this every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's just...
You're a busy
complete
man.
Complete happenstance that I worked 14 hours on the Sunday.
That's a long time.
It's a lot of hours.
I shouldn't
complain. There are people who work every... I mean, I used to be one of those people.
You did.
Who worked every
Selling
Saturday.
Selling some boozies.
But now, yeah, the full-time job is upon us.
Yes, it
is. Bit of overtime pay.
Yep.
Love and life.
Yeah, that's all right, mate.
But that's why the podcast was not available last week.
And we're back now. That's all that matters.
We
might even have off-topic if we've got some time. Bit of Avengers Endgame. We're in the Endgame now, Nick.
It's been a good week of basketball, though.
It has.
It has been a grand old week.
It has been grand.
Let's, Shell is official banter. Yep.
It's official banter time. You literally said over. Before the podcast that your friends think you stammer too much, you mutter too much, and you literally do it within like the first 3 seconds. And you've just proven their point 110%.
I'm not good. Online plug, mate.
Oh, plug.
It's literally on the document.
But it's not bolded like Busy Mamal Scale.
Ooh, you're right. I'm going to bold it right now.
But like you're bolding it now.
Jonah bold it.
Not bad, Nick. Not bad. We need a pun gun.
All right. You can contact us on Twitter at TheJManJBT or at JBTNick.
All right, I'm checking. Keep going.
Oh, my God. I don't think my follower count has increased. I've just been liking your
tweets. Yeah, you did.
Tweets.
So I was like, why do I have 8 notifications? Because normally everyone's awake at certain times. I'm like, it's 3 p.m. It's like 1 a.m. in New York right now. And I'm like,
it was all me, baby. I'm your biggest fan. We're also closely affiliated with OTG Basketball. They've got an awesome podcast network and news website where you can keep up to date with all things NBA. Make sure you give them a follow on Twitter as well, at OTG Basketball. OTGBasketball.com as well is their news website.
Yeah.
Anything you wanted to add for what's happening on the OTGs?
Yeah, plenty of podcasts, obviously. The NBA outlets chugging out stuff. Brooklyn Buzz got plenty of stuff incoming for that one, obviously, with the free agency on the horizon. And plenty of reacts. We've got 5 thoughts after pretty much every game in the playoffs. A lot of draft content dropping as well, so plenty of stuff. Nicholas, you're also at 60 followers. Weren't you at 61?
I feel like I was higher than
you
that.
You were at 61, I think. You lost that one. 59 next week.
I'm going to have to promote my Twitter on my guild page. I also run a guild as well.
What the hell is a guild?
Running a podcast on World of Warcraft.
Oh,
I am the guild master.
Make us be on WoW, brother. We could get some niche fan base.
I need to have a JBT channel in my Discord.
Yeah.
I also
we
run
do,
a Discord.
Don't we?
No, we've got our own Discord.
Ah, right.
So I need to sort of link my... I need to have an automatic feed. Be like, hey, new podcast is up.
Get the gaming...
Just to get all the guildies on board.
Get the guildies there. Gilder.
Facebook.com/JustBallThings. You can also reach us there. Give us a like and a follow. JB2podcast@gmail.com if you want to hit
can
us
you
up
like
on
and
email.
Follow on iTunes, Nick?
You can like and follow on Gmail.
Just Gmail. Just Gmail.
At hotmails.com. That's where we...
Hotmails.
That's where we want to belong.
No one emails us. We don't need to know where it is. JBTPodcast@gmail.com. If you got
you can
that,
hit us up a DM on our Twitter. If that's how you... Yeah. I mean, if that's how you do it,
I prefer the slides.
Fine.
I like the slides. I'm a big fan of sliding. and speaking of sliding, it's a scale. Scales have sliding elements. Don't they?
Solid segue. Yep. For those of you who are new, this is a JBT-created scale. Created by us, that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We scale it on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact. The Busek-Manuel scale has been in full swing.
Yes.
In the playoffs.
Nicholas.
Houston.
Rockets. How?
Rocket Man. Elder John. The Johnster.
Tarik Hutchinson. Is that his name?
The Houston Rockets and Golden State Warriors series will go to 7 if the Rockets maintain their Game 3 form. Obviously, ooh, we're coming straight off a Game 3 victory.
Yep.
From the Rockets.
Yep.
In a very impressive, I'd say both defensive and offensive performance. I thought
mostly
that
defensive.
I would agree.
Yeah, I think that
there were some clutch buckets down the stretch.
Oh yeah.
The three-pointers weren't exactly falling to
at the start, but then I think they had still ended up near 50%. I mean, I'll get the game log
in threes.
I'm pretty sure they were at least 40% because they were like 12 for 28 at some stage.
I haven't actually taken a deep dive on the stats after the game, but just the general feel of the game was that a lot of open shots were being missed. A lot of open shots were
43%
given. Well, that's impressive.
Yeah, 18 of 42, Jesus Christ. And funnily enough, the Warriors were exactly the same. 42, almost.
It's strange how a game can do that to you. That lulls
it,
you
it's
into
how
a
it
false
started.
Sense.
It's like KD started the game like pretty poorly. Like it was like he started with like 7 points or whatever, but he was missing shots. And then in that third quarter, him and Harden were just dueling, and it was insane. Mm. Whether this game goes to 7 based on the Game 3 form, I think that the Rockets were clearly the better team. It's just that the Warriors just have KD. And at the end of the day, you know, Stephen Curry had one of the worst playoff games that I've seen him play.
Good on you.
one of the worst playoff games that I've seen him play in a very long time, you know, missing that dunk layup, whatever you want to call it.
Man,
down the end.
What a strange sequence to end that game.
It's just like if he hadn't nailed that, they're down by 3, they can make the foul, but then they don't make it, then Harden gets the rebound,
and they still don't foul.
It's like San Antonio Spurs, like from a couple of weeks ago. I mean, I get it, but like normally...
They would have just been shook, like from that miss.
I just don't think
and
they
defeated.
Care.
Yeah, defeated at that point.
It's like,
yeah.
All right, look, we lost game 3, we'll come in and win game 4. Mm. Which I think is a real possibility, especially if Kevin Durant is as good as he is, and if Stephen Curry is like 5% better. I thought Draymond was still pretty good defensively. I think the reason why the Houston Rockets were better was because they got some more of their role players at home. Because like Iman Shumpert, Gerald Green, Clint Capella playing like, you know, Clint Capella actually can. Mm. He wasn't necessarily amazing in the box score, but his impact was really felt early. He was forcing, you know, Draymond and KD to defend a little bit more. Chris Paul was okay. I thought Eric Gordon has been the Houston Rockets' second best player this series, and is the Houston Rockets' second best player now. I think, you know, two-way ability, you know, that sort of steal. I think it was on Clay, where he just stole off him. It was like a Kawhi Leonard move. So I think, yeah, it can certainly go 7. But, you know, I think it'll probably more likely go 6.
I sort of made a boldish prediction to myself.
Yeah.
After those first two games, thinking that a sweep was definitely on the cards. And can you imagine how shook the NBA would be if Golden State swept the Houston Rockets?
Yeah.
The way Golden State have played this series has just been amazing, and the Rockets have been, you know.
I don't think either team's been at their best. Zach Lowe had a good piece sort of talking about how stylistically these two teams just have completely different ethos.
Over the entirety of the playoffs, though, I think I would probably agree.
It's literally
with
the thing
that Golden State have have just looked the far superior team to Houston.
They have. And I think the thing that has stood out is essentially three players. Andre Iguodala is playing like a defensive maniac. Just, like, absolutely insane. Like, that block on the step back on James Harden has been insane. Hitting his three ball a little bit as well. He's got the most dunks in the postseason. Draymond Green is back to his defensive best, and like, he's earning that money. And probably the best defensive player in the league. He's probably proven that. We will get to a little bit of abuse at my well later about him and Al Horford. But I think, and obviously KD just stamping himself as the best player in the game.
The best player in the game.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And I think probably the best postseason performer we've seen with LeBron over the past 5-10 years, maybe. There's obviously guys in between there, you know, Dirk and Steve Nash and Dwayne Wade. But I think that Kevin Durant has been phenomenal, and he has proven that with countless finals MVPs. If the Golden State Warriors win it, it's a lock that he's going to win it. I mean, a lot of people would be saying Steph deserved one a few years ago, but he hasn't deserved one over KD this season, in this postseason. He's been phenomenal. He's making buckets left, right, and center. He's playing defense. He's passing tremendously. He's a complete player, and I hope he goes to the Brooklyn Nets. Please. Talk about it at length on the buzz. I've got to bring it up on JBT.
I mean, he is most certainly, I agree with everything you just said. He's definitely the best player in the game.
He's going seven, right, Nick? Now. What do you think on the scale?
I don't think the Rockets can maintain the level that they can to win this game. Then they're also not going to get an atrocious game like that from Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that's a fair call.
I mean, the stars aligned for the Houston Rockets today, I think. And will they align another three times? I don't think it will.
Yeah, that's fair.
I want to give the Rockets a bit of respect and say six, but ultimately, I'm leaning five.
Okay, that's fair. So I'll go Twitter. I guess it's probably closer to alternative for you.
Yeah.
But we will move on to the series with Toronto and Philly. Toronto's form in the Philly series is pushing Kawhi out the door in free agency. He can come to the Nets as well if he wants.
No, we'll take the... I saw a post the other day. It's just like, should the Wizards pursue LeBron James? Or like, who writes these articles?
Hopefully they don't get paid for it. If they do, I can write shit like that.
Hey, if we can get LeBron, then we can get Kawhi and KD. Could you imagine?
Mate, it's not Wizards Watch yet, Nick. Let's save it,
we'll
my
get
friend.
There. We'll get there.
Is Kawhi gone, Nick?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've sort of gone back and forth with this Kawhi.
So good.
He has been. With this Kawhi take. I remember earlier on I was saying... I think Clippers. I think it might have been saying Clippers,
and then I
doubled back and said he's staying at Toronto.
Yeah.
Because I honestly have no idea if Philly win this series, that's a Eastern Conference semifinal exit.
Yeah,
it's not looking good.
He's certainly playing the part, and there's been a lot. This has been going all over Twitter. For those that haven't seen it, you need to hear it. So Kawhi, the on-off numbers with Kawhi Leonard in relation... I'm not sure if you've seen this either, Nick, so you'll be stunned. Kawhi's on-off. Their offense, 110 offensive rating. Their defense, 100.6 defensive rating. So outstanding.
Amazing.
Plus 9.4 net rating. When Kawhi's off the floor, they have a 56.7 offensive rating and 109.7...
What sample size? That's actually fairly decent. Yeah, but as in like minutes-wise... He doesn't play a whole lot.
No, he's
of
not
minutes.
Playing like 45.
Yeah, that's right.
109. So 27 minutes off in this series. So that's a solid sample size. And they're 109.7 defense rating. So it's a negative 53 net rating. It's wrong. That can't be right. That literally can't be right. It's like the 1 in 14,600,000 thing in Avengers Endgame.
Enigma that is the Raptors right now is. Are they getting anything else other than any other production other than Siakam? Yeah, like
Pascal's been pretty good.
Where's Lowry?
I think you need like a Kyle. There's a meme right there, Nick. Where's Lowry? Just have like a where in the world is Kyle Lowry? You know, Carmen San Diego, and then all like where's Lowry? And you have him in like where's Wally? For the costume.
Where's Wally?
We need some graphic designers at JBT. Hit us up. So, speaking of that, Kawhi Leonard's trainer actually tweeted 33 million and zero game about Kyle Lowry and swiftly deleted it following game three.
I did see that post, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot happening. Kyle Lowry's been poor. He's been bad. Marc Gasol hasn't been good enough either. Danny Green has been quite cold.
And given his form in the regular season, it's quite sad to see them.
And in the first series as well, I think he was a little bit better against Orlando. And I thought we saw signs of the Raptors coming together more cohesively. But it's been the absolute opposite. You know, it's been the talent of Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler on full force. Ben Simmons playing a lesser role, but a more defensive-oriented role. And James Ennis, who has outscored the bench by himself of Toronto. Where we said, and everyone has said, that Philly's strength is their starting five, and Toronto's strength is obviously Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
But they have that, you know, Norman Powell coming off the bench, Fred VanVleet's okay. These sort of guys coming off, Serge Ibaka. They've been outscored by one player in James Ennis.
It's actually amazing. You said, like, Fred VanVleet yep. is okay. He was great. Was.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The perception has gone quite south.
And how quickly it can change.
Yeah, exactly. Just playoffs. I said this at the start of, I think...
We had Abusing Manuel, I remember, about playoffs. Playoff form will dictate free agency more than any other.
Yeah, I remember saying, like, people love playoffs.
Yeah.
People love it when you play well in the playoffs.
Of course.
Playoff Rondo. Like, national Derek TV White. Rondo. Derek White.
Yep.
I don't give a crap if you bomb out in the regular season.
Yeah.
It's amazing, this sort of... I can't recall a game quite similar to basketball where the game itself changes so significantly when it comes to finals.
Okay, yeah, that's a fair call.
You prepare different. You play different.
Is it because, do you think, in that sort of sense, speaking more broad picture... that there is seven games.
Yes.
Rather than AFL finals, there's one. And then there's two in like Champions League finals and
yep.
that sort of thing.
A home and an away
so
league.
So like obviously there's more, but it's still a much smaller sample size.
The frequency of game as well. So like you don't play back-to-backs.
Yep.
You play the same team upwards of seven times.
Yep.
The preparation, the psyche, the coaching...
tactics.
Everything is completely different. It's almost like you're playing a completely different game.
Yeah.
And I can't recall any other sport that is quite like
baseball, but we're not big followers.
So I'm not privy to the whole ins and outs of hockey. Hockey do a similar thing. They do a playoffs. I think theirs is five, maybe, NHL.
Yeah. I know that's been happening right now.
Yeah, they do the playoff as well. But then I don't think they play as often as... Like, they don't play 82 games in a season.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't...
Obviously,
the frequency of games is just, like, is the major difference.
Yeah.
It's... You're obviously playing the same team over and over again. You're not playing... And so I think of it like soccer, like AFL.
Yeah.
How you play...
20
one
games.
You still play one game a week.
Yeah.
Against a new opposition.
Yeah.
And you lose, you win, that's it.
Yeah.
It's quite a different game entirely.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's the most important game, some would say.
Absolutely, and I think this game for Toronto might be the most important game in
Philly,
recent Toronto
Philly are
history.
Looking real good,
Red
and
hot.
I can see them making
what
the
do
NBA
you,
Finals.
Do you, yeah, I mean, it's sort of like last season where they were super red hot, the form team, and then Boston sort of knock them out. I mean, that could happen with Milwaukee or Boston themselves. We'll get to them in a little bit. But Toronto's form will push Philly quite
the
door. I think this is almost a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, like if they have bad form, he's gone.
The only way I can see Toronto redeeming this is how well they have treated him and his injury.
Very good point.
He's quite happy
yep.
with the Toronto staff, I guess.
Training staff.
He doesn't have the spotlight that he has in that he would have in Clipperland or, you know. So I think Toronto has definitely got that going
it's
for
got
them.
Something there, yeah.
I'm not potentially.
He'll get
I mean,
that in Brooklyn.
He thought he would have got that at Spurs.
But I think the Clippers organization is bigger than the player. Whereas I think Kawhi.
But then, if you're Kawhi, why take that risk?
Yeah,
why take the risk?
The Clippers all season have been sending scouts to him.
If he thinks that he can win in Toronto, which, you know,
could.
Potentially. You know, the Raptors are still a great team.
Pascal Siakam's young-ish, but Kyle Lowry's just a horrible fit.
Restructure in the offseason. I mean, it can most definitely happen. Gasol's... maybe he's just having a down slump, or maybe this is the end of the Marcus Gasol that we know and love from last year.
After like game one and game two, it's just like you match Gasol with Embiid, and then Embiid just had that. I mean, he still has the knee tendonitis. The fact that he's playing so well is insane to me. But we will move on. We'll get to Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving had some words to say in his post game presser following their loss to Milwaukee in game three.
I mean, it's inevitable, you know. I mean, guy comes down almost six times in a row, gets free throws. You know, what are you really going to do? It's slowing the game down. So the run that you would hope to make in that in a quarter like that doesn't happen. I mean, he shot 22 on the game. I mean, it's getting ridiculous at this point. You know, it's just slowing the fucking game down. So
for a basketball genius, Nick, a self-proclaimed basketball genius. Yeah, okay. Kyrie can be a bit dumb sometimes. Yeah, slowing the game down. You also took 32 free throws as a team compared to the Milwaukee Bucks 36. So if you're really annoyed about slowing the game down, then are you mad that you're going to the free throw line 32 times?
It frustrates me when players. I mean, it frustrates me when he comes out and says this. You know, he shot 22. It's slowing the game down. We're trying to make a run.
Yeah.
Don't foul him.
Yeah, it's plain and simple.
Do not foul him. If that is your main purpose, is to keep continuity and flow in the game, then let him get his 2 points. But it's not. You want to make him earn it at the line. You want to try your absolute hardest defensively to stop this juggernaut from getting an easy 2 points.
Yeah.
Make him earn it at the line. Say he hits one or two. You're 1 point better off.
Yeah.
If your main focus as a team is to keep continuity and get a run, then do not foul. But it's not.
Yeah, I'm getting sick of the refs bitching. Like this bitching about the refs. Just get over it. Move on to the next game. It's not going to do anything. You know, the Houston Rockets played their best game in game three. Game two after that, game one. You know, the whole bitching to the refs did nothing. I hate this ref storyline. It's taking away from the fact that Giannis is awesome. Kyrie was pretty good as well, but the Bucks were better. You know, I don't think that the fact that you look at the discrepancy between the free throws, 36 to 32, the Boston Celtics aren't normally a team that gets to the line either, whereas it's part of the Bucks' sort of offensive mentality. You know, they drive hard, and Giannis kicks out to his three-point shooters. George Hill was awesome. He's just turning back the clock quite a bit. I'm sure LeBron would have loved that last year, funnily enough. But yeah, this to me... is it slowing the game down? Yeah, it is. That's a fact. But is it like how much is that affecting the game? I mean, there's a lot of other things that are affecting the game. And Jason Tatum was good as well, and Jaylen Brown, they're combining well. There is no such thing as a Giannis stopper anymore. Al Horford, yeah, he's great and one of the best defensive guys in the league, especially when it comes to postseason. You talked about sort of postseason form and these sort of players stepping up. Mm. You know, Al Horford's always one of those guys that becomes even more valuable in the postseason. But I think you put it plainly and succinctly, Nick. Stop fouling him.
You can't... There is not a single game in any sport alive where you could point to a refereeing decision and say that single-handedly lost us the game. There is not a single sport, single game where that happens.
No. Yeah. I'm trying to think really hard.
Like, unless it's maybe in soccer, an atrocious red card call in the first 2 minutes, you're down to 10 men.
Yeah.
You play 88 minutes, 10 men. That could very well, that very well would have lost you the game.
I remember when I was in New York, I think it was January, watching the regular season game between the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors, and the refs missed. Remember that KD out of bounds play? His feet were like both planted out of bounds.
But then all of the plays leading up to that point led you to that scoreline.
Yeah, I get you.
Like,
yeah, I know. It's like, because the game has so many intricacies within it in that 48 minutes, one decision doesn't change everything.
Refs are just the easy out.
Yeah, they are.
No one's looking to the, you know, the Daniel House missed three-point attempt.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, for example.
Yeah.
You know, unless he's perfect in this series. I'm not sure.
He's not been great. He's out of the rotation. I'm unsure.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, no one looks at like, a dodgy... Harden play or a turnover.
Yeah.
No one looks at those. Nah. People will look at the refs. And
it takes the responsibility away from what they've done themselves.
Refs making bad calls are as inevitable as players making mistakes on the court.
Yeah.
So if you're going to turn and criticize a referee for making a mistake on the court, then you should equally look at yourself in the mirror and say, how could I have done better to not make that game so close?
The old saying is, and always is, control what you can control. You can't control the external influence of what the referees are doing. And like you said, look yourself in the mirror. What did we do wrong? I feel like if that inward look at yourself and sort of go, okay, did we really defend Giannis right? Did we defend him the same as we have the entire series? Or are we letting him be a bit more physical? And I think that that's a question they'll need to ask themselves, obviously, going into game four. We'll see what happens. It's a crucial game for Boston if they want to this series to go the full 9 yards and then to actually get the win. I think it's going to be a really close series. But we'll move on to Nikola Jokic, who has been outstanding, and the Denver Nuggets have been great, despite the fact that they lost in 4 OT. And apparently Nikola Jokic played 5 minutes, which is awesome. And CJ McCollum played 1 minute. Nikola Jokic has been the best player in the Denver-Portland series.
He no longer requires... I mean, if anyone says... Exactly.
The men's were great.
That is a supreme weight loss technique. Yep. You play 65 minutes of goddamn basketball.
Yep.
I didn't watch this game, unfortunately.
Yeah, I
sort of followed it after a good solid hour after regulation was supposed to end. I was like, God damn, this game is still going. Well, I mean, what a game to actually be a part of.
Yeah. Rodney Hood as well, speaking of guys the Cavs would have loved. But yeah, Jokic has been the best player in the series.
This is 100%.
Dame had a little bit of a down game. CJ McCollum did step up in his absence. So I think that those three guys have been the best players. Jamal Murray's been good as well. Gary Harris has been good defensively. I mean,
CJ McCollum had one good game. I mean, he came in 4 OT.
Enes Kanter, our boy, Nicholas.
16 points in 4 OT.
Doing well. He's been doing well.
I mean, he's got a broken shoulder.
I think it's dislocated
shoulder. Yeah. They breed him differently in Kazakhstan. I don't know where he's from. Turkey.
Yeah.
He's a different breed of basketballer.
He's great. He's been awesome, and all power to him, and hopefully he can continue to push through the tremendous pain that he's no doubt going through. But Nikola Jokic, I think we need to speak about him a bit more in the fact that everyone was questioning his role and what he was going to be like in the playoffs.
People were thinking that he was going to get played off.
He's horrible defensively. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. He's been one of the four best offensive players, best players. You know, I'd go, KD is the best. I'd go, who else would you probably say has been the best player in this postseason?
Giannis has been pretty good. Joel Embiid has been pretty good.
Been pretty good. I think Kawhi. I think KD and Kawhi have been the best. I think you can make a very, very, very solid argument for Nikola Jokic.
I'd probably put Jokic ahead of... ahead of Kawhi.
No, I wouldn't. I think Kawhi's been better.
Jokic's stats can be inflated by a 65-minute game.
That's a fair call, but I think his impact has been as tremendous at the same time, and how I think he's been better defensively as well. And I think that he's so damn important, and he's proved his value, and he's been absolutely awesome. And I think he's put all the questions to rest about, you know, any sort of question marks about how he would be as a sort of fulcrum going forward for a championship team. He is the number one guy. It's about the guys around him, and obviously Jamal Murray stepping up, Gary Harris hitting some shots, Torrey Craig, Monte Morris, all these sort of guys, and Paul Millsap continuing to be that sort of...
I think it's a lot of pressure on Jamal Murray at the moment.
It is.
He plays well, they win.
The
stats corroborate that. If he scores over 20, they win the basketball game.
I think
he
did yesterday, but obviously it was in 18 million minutes.
Okay, there's the first loss.
I don't know if I broadcast this on any platform, but I had Portland just because I thought Damian Lillard was the best player, so I just went with who I think the best player is. Do you have a prediction for the rest of this series? Who do you think's taking it out?
I still have a lot of faith in Portland.
Okay.
Surprisingly, I had no faith in Portland going into playoffs.
You didn't have much on Denver either. You had Denver missing the playoffs.
Denver. I am still firm that Mike Malone is not a good player. I'm still firm, Jackie boy. Whether it's right or wrong, I will live with that for the rest of my life.
I'll
wear it. Go on and win 7 championships.
I had the Washington Wizards finishing third in my hot take marathon. You had them finishing second. You had Dwight Howard.
I said we could finish second.
You had Dwight Howard in Defensive Player of the Year.
I also said that our bottom could be out of the playoffs as well. And it certainly was.
Yeah, your bottom was very bad.
It was quite low.
You have a bad bottom.
It's a sweaty bottom.
And so you got Portland, and I think this one goes 7.
I agree. obviously, that game, there's quite literally not much that separates these two teams.
And the first two games were sort of slugfests as well, so I think that all these sort of games are going to be like that. It's certainly going to be back and forth.
I think we're due for a monster game for Dame. From Dame.
Yeah.
So there's a Portland win, and that is 3-1 with another Portland
whenever
win.
Whenever, yeah, it's their 2-1 up right now.
Yeah. Whenever that happens, and letting Port, I think the Dame game is quite set. I think he's due for one.
And he's been
one.
Like, it's literally, he had like in the first
he's
game,
good for one assist.
He had like 39 points. It was just like a low key 39 points. But we'll get to some more talking points next. Stan Van Gundy on the low post. Mid-range offensive efficiency is more important in the playoffs.
It's an interesting take.
I buy into this wholly. The play that makes me think of this was literally watching today, and I spoke about this with you off wax, where James Harden had an open 15 footer, and it was literally like, take the jumper, and it's like a jumper that you would love, from the elbow around that sort of range, and you know, it's wet, it's just 2 points, but he proceeds to take the 8 million steps back with what he does and take the three, and it's short. Why not take the jumper? I don't know if he has it in his arsenal right now or if he wants to or whatever. Chris Paul does. Kevin Durant does. Kawhi Leonard does. These players that have that shot are more effective. Damian Lillard does. CJ McCollum does. I think because defense has tightened so much, like you mentioned a little bit earlier, that you need to just take what the defense is giving you. A lot of the time, it's a mid-range shot, and most NBA basketballers have that in their arsenal. They have that offensive range. Despite the fact that, yes, the modern NBA is all about 3-and-D and blah, 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 and drive into the basket, I think that he should be taking them more, and I think that mid-range offensive efficiency is more important now than it is in the regular season.
I agree with you in the point that you have to take the shots that the defense allow you, and people will run you off the three-point line and stuff you in the post.
Yeah.
Those are the two danger areas if you're a... if you're an NBA defense.
Yeah.
So obviously that mid-range, you see Kevin Durant do this all the time. Take the quick 2 steps, which is, you know, a normal human's 17 steps, and then go straight up for
he's
the...
He's too
big. Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Which is probably why he's such a good playoff performer,
yeah.
Because that is bread and butter for a guy who's 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
In the game that we just watched, the Game 3 Houston Rockets, Golden State, people will look to James Harden's dagger 3 at the end of that game that ultimately was the day. It sealed the win.
Yeah.
They're not going to look at the several floaters that he did preceding that, which were... beautiful. I love a good floater. I have loved the fact that D-Lo has added that to his arsenal.
He's always been good at
it. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful shot.
Yeah.
Just a little teardrop. Delhi was my favorite. but they were falling and there were money. No one's defending them. He blew by his defender on the 3-point arc, which was Andre Iguodala. Like, Iguodala was sticking to him like a glove, which gives him a driving lane.
Yeah.
But then with Draymond Green in the post, it's easy to flip one up.
And I think that that's the shot when it's falling makes James Harden a much better player. We know we can hit that step back 3 on anyone. And also that floater also opens up the game for Clint Capella for the lob.
His two point game is going to win him games in the playoffs.
Yeah,
because
and it did today.
They are,
his best game.
They are
in the playoffs.
Yeah, because they're gonna Andre Iguodala on him will apply so much pressure on his 3-point shots, but allowing him a drive to the basket. He's got such a soft touch off the glass. He's got those floaters. He is a tremendous finisher around the rim, and he should be utilizing that a lot more.
You see that one floater where he attempted and Draymond Green fouled the shit out of him. Like, literally tackled him. Was like nowhere near straight up in the air, yet it just wasn't cool. There is not a player in this game that gets away with more than Draymond Green. And I will put that out there. No hot takes at all. It is a blatant take. It's a fact. It's we're putting it on the scale. That's a fact.
I think he benefits from the aura, I guess, of him being a good defensive player. So when you see, I think it's the same thing with Kyle Lowry, like him being the charge king.
Yeah,
there are a lot of charges he takes that are probably blocked. Benefit of the doubt because he's Kyle Lowry
and he's small
and he knows that he and like referees know that he is a good charge taker.
Yeah.
So I think perception can come into
it certainly does. Perception is reality, Nicholas.
Ooh,
yeah, that's deep. That's some deep shit right there. Deep. We'll get to Draymond Green, and we sort of hinted at this with Al Horford. This has been making all the rage on NBA Twitter the past couple of days. Al Horford is better than Draymond Green. In the votes from a massive poll from No Tech Ben, 50% of 4,710 people believe that Al Horford is better.
I would agree with that.
I disagree with
that.
You're normally the Draymond Green guy.
I am a Draymond Green.
What is going on? You think Al Horford's better? Why?
I honestly, it could just be a factor of the
offense.
That's part of it. Actually, Draymond Green had a tremendous offensive game today. He can still hit the three with the backpack.
He was literally
with the backpack on.
I think he was 0-16 before he hit that one today or something.
It could just be a factor of the regular season, and I'm not really appreciating playoff Draymond more.
Yeah,
but Draymond's regular season this year was
average. I don't think it was that bad.
I think it was that bad.
Okay.
Al Horford has continually proved himself as being this sort of unsung hero. Average Al, but he's so much more than. I mean, he's afraid of free throws, which is. You know, the first time he said it was a meme, and I'm like, it's not a meme. And now it is definitely a meme.
A person is literally afraid of a basketball coming off the rim.
I just think his balance of offense and defense.
We could literally go through like the pros and cons of these players. It would take a while. We could do a whole podcast about this. But better defender? Draymond Green.
Draymond Green.
Better offensive player in terms of shooting? Okay. Offense encompasses a lot of things. Passer? Draymond Green. And ability to run the floor? I would say Draymond Green. I think Al Horford is very good at that, and probably just under Draymond, probably like top three in that sort of department for big men. But Draymond's a better passer. Shooter, it's Al Horford. Rebounder, I would say Draymond Green. You think it's Al Horford?
It's definitely Al Horford.
Al Horford's, it's always been a weakness of his game. It's why he has to play with Aaron Baines.
It's what he has improved on in the past 2 years.
I don't think he's been that great,
though. Tenfold.
All right, poll coming up later will be, and I'll get OTG to put it out, who's a better rebounder?
Okay.
Draymond Green, Al Horford. I'll report that back to you. We might have to revisit that next week on JBT. But that's, if we're going to like purely, Draymond has defense, so that's one tick for Draymond. Mm-hmm. Al Horford has shooting, that's one tick for Al Horford.
It's differential, though. Like,
how much
of a big difference is, because Al Horford's defense is still probably great.
Yeah, he's probably like the second best big
defender. That's what I mean. Like, the discrepancy is not huge.
It's like you have to rate those things like out of 100. Mm. So like Draymond Green,
then you
add it all up. So we might have to do it. We might have to do a physical exercise. I might do it in like my notebook and like post it on Twitter and like get Nick's thoughts as well. And like we'll compare them and I'll post it as a photo on Twitter because I know I get a little bit of love when I post my notebook skis on Twitter. But Nick, we'll get to some coaching news because people have been hired, people have been fired. But of all the coaching news of the past few days, the most positive is the signing of Monty Williams in Phoenix, the Suns' seventh coach in 8 years.
Now, I believe you did a poll on this.
I did.
Was it specifically on the Suns? Or I think it was just who would you rather have a coach be the coach of your team?
Yeah, so it was Monty Williams or Ty Lue. Monty Williams was an overwhelming winner, which surprised me. Ty Lue has won a championship.
Ty Lue's time at Cleveland was very much tainted.
Yeah, but he won a championship.
By LeBron James.
He won a championship.
People will never recognize Ty Lue as winning.
People really never recognize anyone else outside of LeBron
the
James.
The only people who recognize that Ty Lue won that championship are other coaches and players.
Yeah, that's true.
Potentially players.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like there's still a fair few players who would think that. But reporters don't. Maybe ex players turned analysts. Do the general public don't?
I think
don't think that Ty Lue won that championship. Like
I think that Ty Lue is better. I would have voted for Ty Lue if I could vote in my own poll. Who would you vote for?
I actually voted. I voted Monty Williams.
Okay, why?
Because of all of the things I said about Tyronn Lue.
So you just think the title is so bad that it just makes
I don't think better. Tyronn Lue is a very good coach.
I don't think Monty Williams is a very good coach. He wasn't that great. And he is a great man and a great man manager and has a great rapport. But as an X's and O's coach, I think he's poor. Whereas I think Ty Lue made necessary adjustments, especially in that championship, that were able to, you know, playing small ball, Kevin Love and playing him less and playing Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson extended minutes. I think that doesn't get enough credit. And I think, obviously, we'll wait and see. And, you know, both of these guys are going to be coaching. And I think the pressure will certainly be on Ty Lue quite extremely.
To that point, though, what do the Suns need? Do the Suns need a man coach? Or do the Suns need structure in their
I
think any form of structure with young players is going to fall apart when your front office and everyone else is just... You've got this era of toxicity.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've got players who feel like
they can approach... Would you have known the word toxicity if it wasn't for me?
And I know it.
All right, cool.
whereas a man manager in Monty Williams being able to connect with these players...
Yeah. Don't hate it.
Being able to play for him, for the city, not for the organisation.
Yeah, yeah. And then, look, he's been signed for 5 years, which is good, because if he gets put, like, if he gets fired, like... probably will happen. You're 5 years on that contract, so...
I know. Like, not the smartest move from... I mean, maybe they're trying to usher in a new era.
I think because they knew that the Lakers wanted him so bad, and that was probably part of
the selling
comments point, of mine said that Monty Burns would apparently... I don't know what... And then some people even said Luke Walton in my comments, so... I think probably Luke Walton is a probably better coach than those two, but he's not the right coach right now for the Lakers.
No, I don't think so.
But... let us know your thoughts, guys, at the JMNJBT, just to hit me up. At JBT Nick, he goes on every now and then. But it is time for Wizards Watch.
The Washington Wizards are making noise.
I drank some bleach all the way down to the blue, and now I'm starting to feel like Harry Potter.
Banger!
Absolute. Yes, absolute banger. Bill Simmons.
Bill Z.
The open... Wizards GM role is the most appealing front office position in the league. Mate, what's he smoking?
Now, this was before David Griffin took the spot in New Orleans, and I kept this up here for a couple of weeks. I think I was still in New York when I made this doc. I think because
good candidates are running out, Jack. Like, I would have loved David Griffin.
Did you see the rumor about Masai Ujiri?
No.
Masai Ujiri apparently has been linked. Whether he would be
to leave
Toronto and go into a new sort of position. Obviously, you know, Rob Pelinka is running things now, and I think the Lakers are doing a very dumb thing by not like throwing money at Bob Myers and RC Buford and these other guys. But
well, they did at Bob Myers, but Bob Myers turned him down.
It hasn't.
Oh, okay,
but I think
I thought I saw. Something.
We will wait and see how that pans out. But it's Wizards Watch. It's the most appealing.
Wizards woes, mate, because we're woeful.
Oh, I thought it was Wizards Watch. Yeah, no, Wizards Watch. My bad. I thought we were just watching the Wizards. It's
quite a dire situation.
Yeah, the most appealing front office in the... It's not. So.
No, yeah.
But I mean, in terms of open, if I said open front office position, maybe, because I think if you're looking...
Lakers technically not...
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
if you're looking at the same vein...
Is that president of basketball operations, though, or GM? Or is there much of a difference? Yeah. Like...
Who does who report to?
Businesses, man. Yeah. Like, am I right?
Yeah, am I? You are right.
Capitalism.
I think the reason why, and what I garnered from Bill and sort of his reasoning, and what I think as well, is because it's a similar sort of like thing to the Nets situation, where it's like, you got a blank canvas. You got Bradley Beal and a heap of other scrubs, and you're not expected to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if there's no expectations, you can literally like have free reign. And like, it's the same thing that's been happening in Chicago. John Paxson and Gar Foreman get away with anything because they just have such a good relationship with the owner Jim. Oh, I don't know what he, I can't remember what his name is.
The owner. I don't know the owner.
And, you know, funnily enough, Jim Bullen did re-sign in Chicago. Not the best move in my eyes. But, you know, that's...
I mean, what is appealing about a sort of ragtag...
Blank canvas, I don't know.
I don't...
You don't buy into it?
I guess... I understand the point of no expectations, because there are none.
You certainly have none.
But what do you do when players want to sign with you and you get outbid by other teams because you simply don't have the salary cap, what can you possibly do?
You re-sign Jeff Green, Nicholas, and Trevor Reeves, and that's what you do, mate. And
I'm all for that. I actually have enjoyed more Jeff Green.
Yeah, I mean, my other thing that I was going to have for Wizards Woes was Dwight Howard opting into his contract is the worst thing that could have happened.
We just need a GM who can draft. Yeah. We need a GM who can draft right now. Because we need to, to draft Scott and develop.
Can he play development? He's not Kenny Atkinson. He's not Lloyd Pierce. He's not, these sort of guys. Mark Budenholzer when he was
We'll trade you. Kenny Atkinson for Scott.
Give us Bradley Beal as well when I think about it.
We'll give you John Wall. He's the better player.
It's a hard no. Speaking of the Brooklyn Nets, Brooklyn Bits.
Woo indeed.
Let's just go to Stephen A. Smith.
Stay off the weed.
All right, now before we go to obviously it's in relation to D'Angelo Russell.
Possibly the best soundbite that I have.
Easily. I mean, we've got a lot of good ones. We've got Jimmy Butler screaming.
Jimmy Butler screaming.
No!
That's not bad.
It was awesome. And but Nick, before we go into D'Lo and his weed woes, how do you spell Stephen A. Smith's version of weed?
Now there has to be. There's a lot of E's.
Just one W? It's just a weed.
Yeah, no, it's one W. One W. But there's at least seven E's.
Lowercase or
lowercase E's. But then there's seven uppercase E's because he's like, well, I mean, we'll play it again.
Yeah.
Stay off the
So the lower weed. Lowercase lower. And then the up.
Duh. So I said the first there'd be five E's at the start. Play it again. Let's go to the let's go to the last few E's. Okay.
Stay off the weed.
Nine. Last four are capitalized. And the duh. Is that D-U-H?
It's D-U-H.
Yeah.
Duh.
Exclamation point after?
Oh, has to be.
Yeah.
With an exclamation like that, it does. It more deserves
than one
point.
More than one exclamation point? I like a one or a three. You reckon there's three?
Yeah, two just seems weird.
Yeah, I'm always one or three.
Well, you're right.
When I use emojis, I'm always one, three, or five. I don't know why. It's normally evenness is better.
Even numbers, that's a good point. I do that as well, just subconsciously.
Yeah.
It just looks straight. It's like the rule of thirds. Yep.
Just works well, but obviously we haven't even spoken about who this is. D'Angelo Russell needs to stay off the wee. What does he need to stay off again, Nick?
He needs to
stay off the weed.
I want to see someone superimpose that on a roller coaster ride. So,
I like how Molly and the host of First Aid gets shocked at he goes up again. Play it again. Listen to it. We'll dissect it. We'll dissect her.
God damn it, Jack.
Her shocked nature.
Stay off the weed.
Like you watch.
See, she gets
You watch the video. God.
It's fun.
Because Max
Kellerman.
Max Kellerman.
Yeah.
Is there as well, and it's just. He's stifling his laugh. He's trying so hard.
I mean, we've literally spent probably 4 minutes just discussing.
And we've played it 7, 8 times.
D'Angelo Russell needs to stay off the weed. He doesn't need to stay off it. Every player in the NBA, or at least 50% of them do. And this is in relation to the fact that he got caught at LaGuardia Airport and was issued a summons.
Travel with it, man.
Yeah, Nick on the sit on the Brooklyn Buzz that we just recorded. You're going to Kentucky. Surely you got some dudes in Kentucky that you know.
You are D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
You could get weed in any state in America.
Exactly. and I advocated for the fact, just dude, stay away from LaGuardia. Get to JFK, man, or fly private. He's probably too used to flying private, but he did take it in an Arizona iced tea can or vessel. You can't let those liquids get by TSA either, but apparently they let it go through and they had a bit of a shake. But D'Lo doesn't need to stay off the wee.
Yeah.
But I think we got some time for off topic, Nick. Do you want to play?
We'll play that funky music.
Yeah.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now, the question is pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh.
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What? 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 What?
What? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
We're in the end game now.
Transition, baby.
Bang. Can we even hear that?
I mean, maybe.
But
it may be ridiculously soft.
Well, it's
hey everybody.
Autoplay Nicholas on YouTube, you bum. Why do you have autoplay turned off?
I don't even know that's a thing.
I thought it was. I've turned mine off. We are in the end game now, Nicholas. One of my favourite lines in cinematic history. My friends can attest to that. You as well. Avengers Talk. There's obviously a great podcast delving into it on OTG at the Movies by Nick, Dalton and Corey, which I listened to on the way here to get a bit of a recap. But Nick,
Before we start, mate, this is obviously spoiler alert ahead for Endgame. So those who have
need
not
to go to the bathroom or
those who have not seen it, here's your chance. Okay.
That was plenty of time.
End game. Thoughts? Rated out of 10.
8.5.
Ooh, that's low.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I really enjoyed it, but I don't know. There was just... I didn't want Iron Man to die.
I mean, no. Someone had to. There had to be a consequence to their actions, Jack.
Yes, there did. But, like, I see the reasoning behind it. It was just because... It just hit me super in the feels because of the relationship that they built up between him and his daughter. The 3000 line, which you don't buy.
I don't buy that.
Apparently it relates to phase 3 of... It's phase 3, isn't it? Like, I'm going to phase 4 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I have no idea.
Okay, well, the current Marvel Cinematic Universe that's like 22 movies is 3000 minutes long with Spider-Man Homecoming or whatever, the next Spider-Man being included. And it doesn't buy into that. Apparently that's what the calling card is to 3000. We'll have to wait and see.
It just makes no sense that they would just, what are we going to call this, like, Love You 3000? Oh, you know, we're pretty close. We're 124 minutes off 129 minutes off 3,000 minutes. We'll just throw in the Spider-Man that's not even released
yet. It has
yet.
A better ring to it than I Love You 2947.
But that's what I mean. They didn't base it off anything.
All right, we'll see.
It's not a thing.
You're not the Russo brothers, Nicholas, so I will wait to hear from them in the special features of the Blu-ray. Are you giving it like a 10 out of 10?
I'm giving this as a solid 9.5.
Yeah, all right.
Why? And it could be just because I'm a massive fanboy, just what, nerdgasms everywhere.
What didn't you like? Were there any things that you didn't like about this movie? But like, I know some people weren't happy with Fat Thor.
I loved Fat Thor. He was hilarious.
I love Fat Thor as well.
I guess it's... I'm not as privy to the Marvel Universe as a lot of people.
Yeah.
But given that Thor, like, ripped Thor in the first movie... completely fucked up Thanos.
Dominated!
With Infinity Stones in his arsenal.
Ah.
Completely destroyed him. And then, obviously, like, all the subsequent things happened in Infinity War. And then we get to Endgame, and understand that Fat Thor is like, he didn't quite take it to Thanos, but Thanos didn't have any stones.
No, but that's what a lot of people are like. Oh well,
like the power levels didn't seem to match up, and Captain Marvel, apparently is stronger than Thor, who was still couldn't completely dominate Thanos, still with no stones.
Yeah.
Like the Thanos did not have any stones.
Yeah,
I don't understand how they've rationalized.
Were you disappointed that there wasn't enough Captain Marvel?
I understand why though,
yeah.
Because she is overpowered.
Yeah, and
she's ridiculously overpowered.
Yeah,
she could have easily just gone to Earth and stopped this whole thing, if we're led to believe that she is as powerful as she is.
Yeah, and I mean,
could have just stopped everything.
And the reasoning, you know, behind it was, you know, she was taking care of other universes that don't have the Avengers.
Like, it makes sense.
It does.
Because this was a galactic event.
Yeah.
Galactic
clip.
Yes, exactly.
That came out pretty well. Yeah, that wasn't as good.
Yeah, so I understand that she's sort of the Superman of
The
Marvel Universe, so she's got to help out all these people that don't have the Avengers in their planets. I'm like, okay. It makes sense. I'm not totally upset with that. But it's sort of weird that this something exists.
Okay.
Because it's like, imagine if you're a fan watching this and you're watching these people struggle to defeat Thanos and you're thinking, well, you know, Captain Marvel's around.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no sense of fear.
Yeah.
There's no sense of hopelessness because you know that the Thanos can just get defeated by... It should be defeated by Captain Marvel quite easily.
Yeah, exactly.
So that sort of aspect I didn't get. What this may be a bit of a hot take, and I sort of got, I guess, converted by a friend of mine who I had this discussion with. The campiness and the sheer unnecessary scene sort of denoted girl power. How they brought all of the
feminism.
The feminism sort of push.
Yeah.
And I'm all for that push. But do it naturally in the fights.
Yeah.
Don't make it all ham-fisted. And like, I sort of didn't think much of it at the time.
Did you think much of it in the Captain Marvel movie? Did it seem forced in that?
I actually haven't seen Captain Marvel.
Right, okay. Well, like, there's equally... moments like that, like a moment like that, where a lot of people, and I mean, I get that to an extent in terms of cinematically, but I liked it because I think that,
like, you're gonna get, like, they're appealing to, like, they're obviously not appealing to 25-year-old men.
No,
they're appealing for the 9-year-old girl who's watching this and making it so glaringly obvious that it is,
there's girls,
you know,
out there
girl power. They all like,
why
every.
Not?
And I get that's fine. From a sheer cinematic perspective, it was campy. It was forced. Like, if you want women to have a massive role in these movies,
no, I think you just look at Scarlet Witch and her.
I mean, they're right. The two most powerful. Two of the top three most powerful Avengers: Scarlet Witch and Captain Marvel. And just let their badassery, let their power be shown passively.
I really want a Scarlet Witch movie. I really want a Scarlet Witch movie.
I mean, I really like Scarlet Witch as just a hero, just like the telekinesis, psychic power.
I prefer a movie from her than from Black Widow, just to be honest. That, in terms of just characters that I like, obviously Black Widow was...
I mean, I can kick and shoot things.
Yeah, I mean, but there would obviously be great storylines in both of those films. What, did you have any, like, favourite moments? Mine was obviously when Spidey came back.
I bawled my freaking eyes out when those portals opened and all the heroes started flooding through. And you just saw Spider-Man come through.
Oh, Spidey.
He took off his mask and it's just like, yo, Mr. Stark, I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, goddamn. I love that kid.
I think Spider-Man is the key reason why Tony even... indulged in the time sort of portal time travel thing in the first place. He was so set and with his family life with Pepper and with his daughter, and you know that they were cute af.
There were so many epic moments in this movie, like from an emotionally epic to a like Captain America picking up freaking Thor's hammer. He's just like,
everyone claps.
He's worthy.
Yeah.
Like, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. 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 What I didn't enjoy, like, that's why I've given this a 9.5. Like, the epic moment of killing Thanos in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Holy shit! I didn't see that coming.
I liked that.
I liked it as well. That's what I mean. Like, I've rating this movie so highly, and then the sort of, it's a regenesis.
Yeah.
How it happened. Everything happened 5 years later, and it was almost like another origin story of the Avengers, getting everyone together again for a common cause.
Yeah.
Which I also thought was great. Yeah, Professor Hulk.
Just at the cafe with Ant-Man, it was just like, poor
Ant-Man.
Yeah. Like, I'll get it.
Paul Rudd is perfect for that role.
Yeah.
Like, how they cast him in those movies, Paul Rudd was perfect.
He was great. I think there
was a lot to love about this movie. Yeah. I didn't like the sort of blasé throwing around of time travel.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I'm like, did you not buy into the time travel aspect and the fact how they reasoned for it? And
just they made it seem ridiculously easy.
Yeah.
Like, time travel, Jack. And I'm not sure how you make it, how you appease me to make it sound a little bit harder. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like.
But that's the time stone, you know, and everything with it.
But, I mean, the time stone would have made sense if they had used that, because it's this mythical thing.
But Doctor Strange would just have been more involved in that.
Yeah, but they just figured it out. Yeah. Paul Rudd comes back from Quantum and I was like, what if we could control it?
Yeah.
And then Toast is like, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
It was... This is a massive technological feat that you've... It just seemed ridiculously easy...
Yeah.
An easy fix.
My favourite moment when they did
lazy writing as well. I would... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but at the same time, there's only so much you can do.
I understand that point.
A lot of
well.
People were like, you know, when they made the gauntlet, were like, oh, why couldn't they have been spending more time in the gauntlet? My favourite thing when they did go back was Professor Hulk pretending to be angry, out of control, and just like punches the cat.
And Croc?
Yeah,
was in it. What's his name? The director from Ragnarok.
Yeah,
he was in it.
Hey, boo.
And when they were this guy online's calling me a dickhead.
Love Kiwis. Thor Ragnarok. I don't know if I've asked you this. Maybe I have. Who's your favorite like Marvel superhero? Mine's Spider-Man.
It would have to be.
I think outside of Spider-Man, because we both love Spider-Man. Mine's Thor.
I
love Hemsworth.
I really like Hawkeye.
What? You're such
I am not gonna
you're
lie.
You're a scrub.
And he was fucking badass in this movie.
The haircut alone. Sexy it was, fucking mohawk.
It needed to end at the back of his head. Because it's
not fair.
It went into a sort of rat's tail sort of thing.
I liked it.
But the front, like if you took a portrait from his front,
yeah.
Oh, that's sexy, sexy hair.
I want a mohawk now.
And like I've always been drawn to like archers in films, like Legolas is my favorite. Like I really love the fact that the bow was her her weapon of choice. Like I like the archers, the sort of the precision marksman. I really like that. Something appeals to me like that. It's a shame that Hawkeye is sort of like... It's like saying Black Widow's your favorite Avenger. Like it's cool, yeah. But like she'd get destroyed by every other Avenger.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like Hawkeye's cunning. Like he was awesome with a sword. He could speak Japanese.
Yeah!
I mean, he was incredibly cool in this movie.
He was. He had his
most... I think they gave a lot of love to the lesser Avengers.
Yeah, him and Ant-Man and the rest, but... we've gone a little bit over, but who cares? It's Avengers have. Time, and we're in the end game now, Nick.
We are.
where are we?
I don't have the soundbite. Oh, it was just the YouTube.
I need that just soundbite for me.
Plenty just of carry it on your phone.
Exactly. Like. Plenty of soundbites from today's episode. Very fun one.
You can do the spiel over
cool.
today, mate.
Cool. JBT. Oh wait, it says synopsis. JBT. Oh no,
it's above it, mate. Come on.
Oh, wow, I really come on. That, one up. That was a big one. And that just about does it for another week. So we'd just like to thank you all for tuning in to Just Ball Things. Catch us on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, catch us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Blog Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your pods. Do us a solid. Leave us a rating and review. Maybe even a like.
Like us on all of the mediums.
Yeah, Nick was a big fan of the likes back in the day, a couple of years ago. It does help us out a bunch, though. It's you guys who make the show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week...
We're in the end game, superstars.